Say begin your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Well, we have been playing Monster Hunter Stories 3, Twisted Reflection.
I'm jumbled up.
Twisted. But me.
Exactly.
And I want to talk about it.
Yes.
I want to tell you how I feel about it. I've been playing on Switch 2, and I was really excited about this game. So
you were.
I finally got a chance to dig into it, and I want to talk about it.
Yeah, since you have been playing and I have not, I am very curious about this game, so I'm going to ask you some questions and just kind of see what's going on here.
Yes, ask me anything.
So let's start with the basics. How much have you played? Because people, I think, today are seeing reviews of the game.
Yeah.
You have not played enough to do any sort of proper review.
There is no review. Yeah. We don't do reviews.
These are impressions.
These are my sort of early impressions, yes. I would say. I'm probably about 4.5.
All right.
5 hours
All right,
in.
That's enough to get a taste.
Yes, definitely enough to get a taste. Already very hooked, so it didn't take long for me to already be like very invested.
So it's not a slow start or anything?
I think not. Though these types of games, these kinds of RPGs, kind of have a slow burn in the beginning. There's a lot to learn, obviously. We'll get into that in a little bit. But in terms of sort of how the game has captured my attention, I think that first, like, the opening of it is very strong.
Okay.
And it basically kind of gives you a taste of all the things that you want to do in this game right away. Like, immediately, you're riding your monster.
Wow.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah. What would you say is kind of the basic premise of the story of this game?
Yeah. So, this is a game that when we saw revealed in that partner showcase a year-ish, almost a year ago, whatever.
Who can keep track?
Who can keep track? We were both pretty hyped about it because as big Monster Hunter fans, this is a little bit of a different experience than like the core Monster Hunter games that you might be more used to seeing, like Monster Hunter Wilds. This is like a side spin-off of the Monster Hunter universe. This one is definitely more focused on story and more of that like RPG experience. So I think, you know, this is really like very much like story-driven, character-driven. You are doing a lot of things that are kind of in the realm of monsters. You still hunt them. You still take down the big monsters, but this time you're like kind of partnered up with your own monster. And you also do a lot of like collecting monsters. You're like looking for monster eggs and then hatching
There's some Pokemon.
There's
type
very
of thing
much some
here, right?
Pokemon aspects in there. You can't have a party of six monsters, very similar to Pokemon. And you can train them up and they have different sort of, you know, skill sets. So it's kind of a mix between like a very story-driven RPG and sort of this like monster collecting the monster hunter side of it.
Right. Now, this is Monster Hunter Stories 3. There have been
two more
of these previously, and those were on handhelds first.
Yeah.
They did eventually come to the Switch, but
those are great games, by the way.
How does this game compare to those earlier two?
I really do feel like, and this is something that when we saw the game revealed, and then we had played a tiny bit of it before this, it really does feel like they're trying to make this series feel bigger than it was on a handheld. It was a fine experience on a handheld, but when you think about a handheld RPG experience, it's going to be smaller in scope. It's going to feel smaller. This one definitely feels like a pretty big step up in terms of the scope of it. Like, It feels like a much bigger world that you're exploring. It feels like a more robust cast of characters. The gameplay is very layered. There's still the, you know, the core gameplay mechanics you're doing in a Monster Hunter stories, which is like partnering up with your monster and you know, doing all these attacks and things like that. But there's a lot to like the collecting part, and there's this other layer where it's you're like releasing the monsters into the wild to like repopulate the environment. So there's kind of more layers to the gameplay mechanics, which is pretty interesting. A little complicated, but pretty interesting. But overall, I just feel like the scope of it feels a lot bigger, and it feels like it's no longer just like this little handheld game. It truly feels like, you know, a JRPG console experience, which is really cool for the series. Because I know it's been a bit more niche, but I think it feels like a proper, like, big JRPG.
So you'd say it's like properly progressed enough from its handheld roots that it feels like it's trying to stack up to, like, a Final Fantasy or a Dragon Quest or other like big console oriented JRPGs.
Oh, for sure. Okay. I think it can stand shoulder to shoulder with other console JRPGs for sure. In terms of the amount of content, the amount the vastness of the world that you're experiencing, all of the different characters, the storyline is very interesting. But it does feel just like bigger overall, which I was really happy to see.
What is the difference between a monstie and a monster, and what are you doing with them?
Well, a monstie is basically like you've tamed it.
Yes, it's a friendly monster.
Now it's your like little partner.
Okay.
It's your partner monstie.
Yeah.
And again, you can have six monsties in your party.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about it is like you can switch between them pretty freely in the overworld. So, like, if you need it to do something, like, some monsties can climb and some can't, for example. So if you need to climb a rock or something, you can switch to it and, like, climb up the rock. So there's, like, a lot of, like, environmental things.
What are some of the other environmental abilities?
So there's not proper, like, you can't just, like, fly away, but there is, like, gliding and flying. So obviously then you'll need a monster or a monstie with wings to do that. And there's, like, these air gusts. That you can kind of ride these gusts. And again, that was like a very cool opening moment because like you're getting the story dump a little bit. You're kind of figuring out like, ooh, what is this mystery, that mysterious thing that's happening? I was already very drawn in by that. And then it kind of does a little flash forward to present day. And, you know, you're grown up. Your character is like grown up now. And the thing you want to do right away is you want to get on that monster.
Right.
Like, that's literally, like, you give me a game with a bunch of dragon monsters in it. I want to ride it. Get me on that monster right now. And, like, seriously, like, the first thing you do is, like, you, like, have this really dramatic cutscene where you're, like, running towards this cliff. And you, like, dive off the cliff and you whistle for your monster. And it just swoops up under you. And you're just gliding, like, towards, you know, the castle or whatever. And that was a real cool moment. It, like, set up the game really well. But that's the cool thing about it is like all the monsters, you can use them in the environment. So you can ride it throughout the entire environment. You can use it to like traverse the environment. Obviously you're using it when you battle. It has all these things too that you can do without getting into a proper fight. So you could like spit fire if one of your monsters can do that is a fire breathing monstie, and then you can like do this monster roar that can scare away like smaller, less powerful monsters. So you can just like run past them. So there's like environmental things that this monstie can do with you, which is pretty cool.
Now, something I remember when we played the game a few months ago, the preview version, that you were in these kind of dungeons, which were pretty linear.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were some more like open parts of the map too.
Yeah.
Like what is the balance of the two of those, and like how open are we talking about in those parts?
It does kind of feel like the structure of the world is very similar to most traditional Monster Hunter games, where it's like areas that are open that you can explore, and then you can go through sort of a doorway into another area. So it's not like a connected open world, you know what I mean? But like the areas that you're in, that you're exploring freely, are pretty big. And you can do lots of things in those areas. You can, like, explore and find different, like, locations to get monster eggs. You can set up camp and do a bunch of stuff. You can, you know, gather. And as in every Monster Hunter game, there's literally like a million and one things for you to gather. So you can do all of that gathering and make your potions and your, you know, antidotes and all that stuff.
Are you doing a lot of crafting?
You can craft, yep.
Armor and weapons too?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Using what though? These monsters are your friends. You're not cutting them into pieces.
There are monsters that are not your friends.
Oh, some monsters get cut up.
They're
and some
They're all messed
don't.
Up. They're okay. like they're like disease monsters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something's wrong with them.
You're doing everybody a favor by taking them out.
We don't know what's going on. Okay. They're like there's a crystals growing off these monsters for some reason. There's something bad happening.
Is that the twisted reflection?
They're feral. That's what they call it.
What does that mean? Twisted reflection.
Well, this happens in the very very beginning of the story. But if you don't want to hear this part, like skip this 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So basically, the very beginning is your mother, the queen of your kingdom, finds this egg. And you bring it back to the cat. The mom brings it back to the castle, and it hatches twins, Rathalos. And apparently, in this world, having twins is a really bad omen.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, "Well, I got to kill one of these," which is very bad. So
do they?
No, they do not. Because that's awful. No.
So what happens?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
No, I want to know. You tell me later.
I'll tell you later. Yeah. So that's sort of the setup.
Yeah.
And the mom is involved in all of this drama, kingdom drama.
Uh-oh.
And so one of those Rathalos becomes your monstie. Like your main monstie is that Rathalos. And the other one, I don't know. So that's kind of the setup of it, which was really interesting. I think the twisted reflection is like there's two of them.
Yeah, okay.
And their fates are
intertwined. That's good, because I was wondering, like, what does this subtitle mean?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Well, it's good that they let you know.
And there's a dramatic cutscene where I was like, oh no!
Oh.
It was really scary. Wow. I thought something really bad was going to happen.
Okay,
but it was okay. It was okay.
Combat, I remember it's kind of complicated.
It is.
And there's a lot of rock, paper, scissors stuff on different levels happening. How quickly did you acclimate to this?
I still have not. I'm getting better, but it's one of those things that's very nuanced and layered, and there's a lot of different kind of things. There's a lot of different details that you're supposed to be paying attention to give you the best
and you're not?
Success rate. But I'm like, am I missing this? Like, they're like, watch the monster closely to see what the best attack would be. I'm like, I'm watching. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But it's true. It has sort of like, it's almost like the Fire Emblem weapons triangle.
Yes.
So you have three different attacks. You have a technical attack, a speed attack, and a power attack. Depending on the monster, one of them is going to overpower them, and one of them, they're going to overpower you.
Mm.
So you have to basically watch the monster's behavior, which is typical of Fire Emblem games, very like, look at the environment. We're not going to really tell you. There's no health. You know, there is a health bar in this one, but they try to make it so like you're supposed to be, you know, like a hunter. You're supposed to really be looking out for these signs. I find them a little bit hard to tell. So sometimes I'm playing a game of like, let's take a guess.
Just guess.
And then if that's the wrong one, then do the other attack. So beyond that, you can also control and give your monstie commands in battle. So that's another layer. You can also switch weapons and do different weapon attacks and special attacks with all your different weapons. And include some of the weapons that are a bit more difficult. Like, I have a hunting horn. So instead of, like, you know, fighting, like, on the offense, you can also do, like, buffs for your party. So that's another layer. And then you can also ride the monster. So you can, if you fill up this meter, you can get on the monster, ride it, and do these attacks on the monster in, like, a synchronized attack on the monster itself.
Now, you said you had six things in your party.
Yes.
Are they all coming into battle with you?
No, one at a time. So you can switch them one at a time. Switch them in.
Do you ever have other humans?
You do.
So it's not just you and monsties.
Yeah, it's usually you, your monstie that you have out.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe another human and their monstie.
Okay.
So it's quite the crowded battlefield. Yeah. And there's a lot going on. And then you have the Palicos talking to you, you know. So I do think this is the area where people that are new to this game might be a little confused.
Yeah.
I'm not new to this game, and I'm still confused.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Right.
Because it's always cool to watch your monster, like, kick some butt, you know? But it is also pretty complicated.
Okay.
And I think they do an okay job of walking you through it. But there's some parts of it where I'm like, I know that you want me to figure this out, but I don't know what those signs are.
Hmm.
And so I'm guessing.
That's interesting.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And I don't feel great about that. I wish I knew.
Yeah.
And even early in the game, there was one battle where I had to fight two monsters at the same time solo with just me and my monstie. And I died like twice because it was,
uh-oh,
I did not know,
yeah,
like what to do. And like I finally, like through trial and error, you know, kind of figured it out and was able to do it. But yeah, it does feel like sometimes the battling is more trial and error than strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope that in time I'll get to a point where I do feel more comfortable with the battling and it does feel more strategic. So I think that's the aim.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just still new to it now. Yeah. But yeah, you take down these feral monsters or these monsters that have like these like crystals growing out of them. They're not friendly. You do not want to try to tame them. They want to kill you. So you can get like parts from those monsters and then you do the very similar thing that you do in other Monster Hunter games, like craft all those like crazy
looking
outfits and armor and weapons and things like that. So,
okay.
Yeah. So you can do all that.
Do you upgrade your monster? Like, does the monster get new moves or like, is there any path for them to get stronger?
They level up.
Okay.
But maybe they get new moves as they level up. I haven't leveled mine up enough to see any new moves, but they're pretty powerful already.
Yeah.
Like the Rathalos is doing some damage.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Doing some stuff, you know?
We are both longtime Monster Hunter fans, so a lot of kind of the basic concepts of Monster Hunter. It's like, yeah, we know that. But if you are new to Monster Hunter, is that something you can do with this game? Or is that going to be kind of a rough path in addition to everything else that's thrown at you?
Yeah, there's some, you know, like there is a lot of Monster Hunter-ness in this game that if you came from the core series, this is going to be kind of, you know, you're going to know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, there are things about Monster Hunter that can make it feel a little overwhelming for new players. I think this does a better job of not making it as overwhelming as sort of the mainline Monster Hunter games, but it still has those trappings. Like I just said, the battle system can be a little bit complicated. There is all that gathering and crafting. Like, you can get overwhelmed with just the sheer amount of stuff that you find in the world. Like, how many thousands of just plants are in the world of Monster Hunter that you're just like walking by and there's like a little pop-up and you're just pressing the button to gather and you're like, what the heck am I supposed to do with this? And, you know, there are different things like buffs and making a potion and doing these armor spheres to augment your weapon. Those things will come in time. So I guess my advice is like, don't be put off by it. You don't have to do any of that stuff is the thing.
Mm.
Like, it's not necessary to progress the story.
Okay.
But if you are like into Monster Hunter, you'll know. This is a telltale sign of that game where like the inventory is just like it's just a huge mess, you know, and you're just like, whatever. I'm gonna gather every herb possible.
Right.
I don't know what the heck this does, but you know, that stuff is in there. But you certainly don't have to like learn all of it immediately.
Okay.
And they do, so they have like sort of like a hub, which is the castle town.
Yeah.
You are the prince or the princess. You can make your own player character, which is really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So you can choose. And I was pretty impressed with like their character creation, actually.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. And mine looks cute. I like her. She kinda looks like, I like her. I feel connected to my character, you know? Like, and you can put your name in there, so it's like Princess Krista or whatever.
Oh.
It's really cute. So anyhow. So you can slowly unlock stuff in that hub world. So when I first started, a lot of the things were not unlocked yet, and they do unlock it like one at a time, so you can learn. So they unlock like the blacksmith, and you can go and figure out how to craft armor and weapons from the monster parts, and then you meet a character, and it unlocks the like the cooking part. You know, if you played other Monster Hunter games before, like eating before a fight is really important to get your buff. So they do teach you all that stuff. Oh, really cool thing. As expected from Capcom and every monster.
Food looks good?
Oh my god, the food.
Uh-huh.
food looks even better than, and they always have like the cutest little animation yeah. of the cooking. So it's like someone putting on an apron right, with right. the pots and pans, and it's like the cute music plays, and then the food comes out, and it's like, bah! And it looks so, nice. It's like juicy, yeah. like steak, you know? So they do have good looking food. But yeah, they kind of unlock it like one at a time for you to figure out like, okay, you know, learn a little bit.
Okay.
But
okay.
It is deep. It's very layered.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
It's very layered. Now, don't get overwhelmed.
Now, even though you'd played this game before, was there anything that surprised you now in the full game?
I'm just surprised at like how big it feels. Mm. Like, you know, I grew up playing like the, or like I came to the series on handheld, like on yeah. like a DS, 3DS, yeah, yeah. you know? So it is kind of cool to see it be this full like next-gen console experience. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed by the sort of the art direction on the cutscenes. The art direction overall for this game is really beautiful. Yeah. Like there's something about the look of this game that I just, that really speaks to me. It has like that kind of cel-shaded look. The environments are absolutely beautiful.
It's a little Zelda-ish in places.
It looks like Zelda and Fire Emblem had a baby yeah, and it's Monster yeah. Hunter Stories. Right. Because all the character models look kind of like Fire Emblem style mm-hmm. characters. But just the lighting, the way that, you know, you're walking through these like sort of sun-dappled forests and you're looking out. Vistas, very good, very good vistas, especially right. when you're on the riding the monster.
Yeah,
it's very impressive.
Okay,
so I was really pleasantly right. surprised, and again, some of these cutscenes and cinematics that are telling you this very dramatic story, it's like I'm paying attention. All right. This looks good. All like right. this is truly like take all these cutscenes and stitch it together, and you put it on, you know, put it on Netflix. It'd feel like an anime.
Boom! There's an anime.
It's true.
All right.
It's like, it's that good.
Yeah.
You know, the story is that good.
Right. Yeah. So you've got the learning curve with the combat.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll see where that goes as you keep right. playing the game. Anything that, you, like, just so far, you're just kind of like, I don't really like this.
I feel like the combat and just, like, the little details around the different layers of things you can do is probably the main thing. Mm. But this is very typical of Monster Hunter yeah. games. Like, the other thing I was telling you about earlier is they have this other mechanic that they just introduced to me. I still don't really quite grasp it yet, but like I found this really awesome, very rare egg and I hatched it and a Raytheon came out
yeah.
and I was like, that's cool. I'll keep that Raytheon. But she's like, no, you can't keep it. You have to release it into the wild.
Why?
I don't know, because the environment or something.
What like, is that? What is that mechanic of releasing things? You mentioned that before.
That's
too.
Yeah. It's like a new, I think it's new.
You need to do this?
And that was something that I was forced to do. It was like, this is an endangered monster, so oh. you can't keep it. You have to repopulate the species.
Certain species.
By releasing oh. it into the wild. Okay. So then there was a very complicated mechanic of like looking at this map and figuring out like where on the map is best to release it and then releasing oh. it. And then you can release wow. other things into, I think you can release other monsters in there to like help to repopulate it, to like encourage it to lay more eggs.
And
or
do you
something.
See any, like when you go back out and you go to that area, do you notice anything different?
I don't know. I haven't been back there yet. I don't okay. even know where it is. I was like, where is this place? Well, where is the sunspot plateau? Like, yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen that before.
All right.
So I kind of wanted to keep that ring.
You can so, catch it later.
It's real cute, yeah. you know? Yeah. So, not that I didn't like it, but I was just kind of like, oh, this is a very interesting thing to introduce right yeah. now because I thought the whole point was collecting these monsters, using them to my own advantage. So it's interesting.
Okay.
But yeah. You do that thing though when you look for eggs in those dens where you have to hold the egg and
run it out. Yeah.
And then if the monster's chasing you, you're just with the egg.
Don't drop it.
And you know, you take that risk, right? Because you basically go into this nest and you can like, you know, dig around for eggs.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you how rare it is, and you can keep trying. But the longer you stay there, the more likely a monster's the monster's coming back to the den to like kill you.
Right.
But I'm always like rooting around in there looking for like the rare eggs. Right. So far so good. I've only gotten caught once, and then I got and then I died.
God.
But it's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can go like hatch them in the stable. You know, all the Monster Hunter things are there. Like you get your palicos, they're hanging out, they're yep. quippy and cute, and they help you in battle and stuff like that. You get a poogie.
Oh, really?
Precious poogie.
What can you do with the poogie?
Well, it's not yours, but it's around. Oh. One of your characters has like a poogie farm, yeah. I think. One of your proteges.
Yeah.
And you can also rescue poogies in the world.
What, did you grow up on a poogie farm?
You're not from the big city, are you? You grew up on a poogie farm. But they're so cute. And they like hold the poogie. And the little pig head is just like,
yes.
It's just cute, you know?
Now, before this, we were both playing Resident Evil Requiem
yeah.
on the Switch 2, also from Capcom.
Yes.
Like, one of the best technical showpieces on the Switch 2.
Wonderful.
So I think the expectations are high for this game on the Switch 2. What do you think of that?
It's beautiful.
Yeah?
It's absolutely gorgeous on a Switch 2. Like, I'm so impressed. Capcom, what is happening? You got something going here. But it looks so good. Like, it's such a bright, colorful,
yeah.
detailed... Well, again, the draw distance is a really big deal in this one because you're on the monster and you're like flying about and you're always like jumping off a cliff or you're looking out. You know, there's a lot of like these lookouts where you're like looking out into the world or onto the kingdom and you're like, this looks good. Lighting, like I mentioned before, lighting is really well done. Like a lot of like sunlight. There's a day and night, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of detail in that castle town. One tiny thing I noticed...
Cool.
is the text of this is the
oh no small, not this again
this is the smallest detail ever
not this again
the text is not that small but it's a little blurry
oh
on a handheld
the text is blurry
it's like a little like the edges look a little jaggedy
oh.
is what I've noticed
okay
and I'm playing on handheld I checked it out a little bit on TV mode and it looks really really good obviously on handheld it looks great but that's the only thing I noticed in terms of like graphically
and that was only in handheld.
Yeah.
Okay on a TV.
Just a little blurry around the edges. It's weird.
Huh.
Maybe they were like, we don't care. Put the power into the other things. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
But just the subtitles of the text.
Right.
But otherwise, beautiful game.
All right, great.
Beautiful, colorful, you know, obviously a different type of game than Resident Evil 9.
Yeah.
In terms of it's not realistic. It's very like, it has a different style.
Right.
But that style is hard to do as well. It, you know, you need a lot of like beautiful lighting and colors and vibrancy to make that look nice and look really, really like kind of makes it look full and lush. And it does definitely do that. Good skybox,
a beautiful,
like kind of like that skybox where it like, kind of domes.
You so learn you from that Pokemon.
Feel like yeah,
yeah.
You should.
Okay. So it sounds like you're excited
I'm into
to keep
it.
Playing. Okay.
I'm so into.
Okay.
it. Like if you're craving a. Almost like a 3D Zelda type experience. I mean, this gameplay is very different than a Zelda game, obviously, but that the sense of exploration and the feeling of this world. And again, if you love the story elements of like Fire Emblem, just, you know, if you've never played this game before, like this game has all those things. Like if you need like the court, the kingdom drama, betrayal, like all that stuff that... You know, we usually find in Fire Emblem games, like, this has that storyline with the exploration and sort of the, you know, that type of, like, let me see what's around the corner. Let me look into this monster den and see what egg I find. Like, that's kind of very Zelda-esque.
Right.
So if you're craving that kind of experience, I highly recommend this game.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I do want to play this game. I got some Pokopia-ing
yes,
to do first,
though.
You do.
Yes. How exciting. But I can't wait to hear
I'm
about
excited
that.
To hear more as you get deeper.
Yes. Well, there you go. This is my first early impressions of Monster Hunter Stories 3 Twisted Reflection. This game comes out really soon.
Soon.
Very soon. So if you are craving that Zelda-esque experience with the storyline of a Fire Emblem game, highly recommend this game. Let us know if you are going to be playing this on your Switch 2, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.